Rena, you had said something about the anti-globalization movement and how maybe, were you saying that it's been squashed or that it's in danger of being squashed? Sorry, she was talking about the anti-globalization movement and how neoliberalism may have managed to squash it and how perhaps we can have, I don't know, I don't want to misquote you, how we could bring it back into the dialogue. And what I wanted to say is, I think we're all members of the anti-globalization movement, and I'm doing a lot of research on it right now for my dissertation, and what is uplifting, I mean, indeed, after September 11th, they did manage to silence a lot of people and scare a lot of people. A lot of people are afraid of government reprisal, but what's really uplifting is a lot of people who may not have made the connections before 9/11, and definitely not before the recent invasion of Lebanon, and battles there between Lebanon and Israel, are making the connection between anti-globalization, the spread of global capitalism, and movements for peace and against imperialism. People really are making the connection that imperialist wars of aggression are capitalism, and apartheid is capitalism. It's part and parcel of capitalism. So I actually have hope. I don't think they've squashed us. I think people are making the necessary connections, especially in the third world, so-called, and I think we're starting to make those connections here as well. So I really think we have to keep hope alive that we're making the connections and they're not squashing us. And what I always like to say is, you know, when you go to a demonstration and you see all the king's horses and all the king's men that the establishment brings out to squash us, that means we are winning. You know, truth is the enemy of power, and when they need all of that in the face of us, then that really does mean we're winning. So I think we should keep hope alive.
We'll take a series of questions and then let the speaker sort of respond to them as they sort of see fit. So hands up higher, I guess.
I just want to add some comments about the discussion we had before earlier this afternoon, and some issues some students had about organizing events in York University. Well, Zionists may have influence of some universities and some facilities, but they can't have influence of everything. So I was thinking if you can organize, just outside the university, let's say with some churches or some community centers, and that way you can also kind of recruit people from the community around the university to help you out with struggle inside universities. That's one thing. The other thing was about strategic planning about the BDS and other issue relevant to the boycott. I haven't seen a real strategic plan so far. I haven't seen a constructive plan to boycott Israel. Mm. I know I assume there's some people thinking about it and organizing it, but I haven't seen it yet. So I think it's a major point to do that, and I think targeting unions and big organizations will be a good start for doing that.
Thank you. I guess.
Okay. Today's panel is very male heavy, so, women, if you have questions, please do raise your hands high.
Women have to.
I'm wondering whether a focused campaign to the government to remove the charitable status of the Jewish National Fund would help, and how would one go about it?
Okay. Shall I speak? I think this is a very important topic, and I honestly think what we need to do is a concerted action by a variety of people. In fact, it's really it's not an individual's issue. It's the whole of the Canadian citizen. And I think we need a class action, seek legal action to take it to the court and to show the very clear evidence of the war crimes that the JNF is committing. And I think it's an issue that requires concerted action. And I think that is what we need to do. At the moment, the group where we are working with is only three or four people. But I think with a larger group and more clear support on a national issue like this, we can take a class action to court, and I hope people can get together and support us on this exercise.
Okay, we're gonna do maybe two very quick questions if people can just put their hands up. I guess Barry over there, go ahead. And Judith, okay.
Yeah, thanks again to the panelists. I want to address a specific question with regard to boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And as someone at a workshop earlier today said, boycott is something consumers can do, divestment is something that institutions can be forced to do, and sanctions is something that governments can be compelled to do. So with regard to boycott, although I think divestment and sanctions should perhaps occupy much of our attention, with regard to boycott, it's true that there have not been targets suggested, although panel have mentioned wines from the Golan Heights and the Caterpillar Corporation. But let me ask you this. It's well known, I think, that the largest export of the Israeli economy is weapons. But the second largest export is cut diamonds. There are hundreds of millions of dollars in profit that go to Israeli capital in the form of revenue for the export of cut diamonds. And I was just wondering if there are some firms, some diamond exporters in this country that can be targeted, because I think it would be fair to characterize those products as blood diamonds. We're familiar with African blood diamonds, but these diamonds that are cut and exported from Israel emanate from an economy which is based on the dispossession of a people and a land that is soaked with the blood of the Palestinians, and I think we should consider targeting those as one of our goals.
The last quick question right here, and then the speakers will respond.
I was recently in Palestine and saw some of the industrial zones that they're building next to the Bantustans. And once I started realizing the level of oppression and killing and that was going on there, and theft, I began to realize that putting it together with all of the policies of the United States and Israel and Britain in the Middle East, I think that part of what they're about is to smash any possibility of resistance against the globalization of capital and turning most of the population into virtual slave labor. And I wondered if anybody could make any comments about that.
Great. So thank you all. I think we will have Ihab and then Rina and then Dr. Zayed sort of commenting on the questions that pertain to them.
I will just comment on the targets of boycott. Of course, when I spoke about the Golan Heights winery and the SAQ, I was talking about the campaign that was already launched in Quebec. I think I cannot speak about the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid and this conference at this point, what the targets are. But I think that a very important point is that a part of the planning for this boycott sanctions and disinvestment campaign is that there is going to be research. There is going to be research, and I hope that by the end of the day, the research will come out with targets that are both viable and interesting to people, or easy for people to boycott or to individually do something about. I think that the outcome of that research, that hopefully would not take long, would put us in the position to start action. But whether it's boycott, whether it's sanctions, whether it's disinvestment, whether it is changing the status of the Jewish National Fund, I think the conviction among the general public that Israel is doing ill, that Israel is an apartheid state, that it's oppressing people, is the most important message that we should come out from this conference with, and we should carry out, and we should equip ourselves and empower ourselves to use and not to hesitate to spread out there. So I don't know, I mean, the next session in the conference would get us closer, hopefully, to tangible positions, but if it doesn't, then that's not the end of the road. It is a landmark on the road. It's an important landmark, but there are still steps to follow. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to speak really briefly to the question regarding specifically around the JNF and what we can do. In addition to your suggestions, I think people like myself who may have bought trees through the JNF as children, you know, at Hebrew school during Tu B'Shvat time, I think what we need to do is actually have an organized campaign where we contact the JNF and request that those trees be removed from the stolen land that they're on. And, you know, in I think this is an important strategy, not because it will affect the charitable status of the JNF, but because it will affect their psychological comfort and security in the propaganda that they send out to millions of diasporic Jewish children, right? Like myself. So anyway, if anyone wants to do that, talk to me. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but I haven't gotten on the project. And I think that's that in conjunction with, you know, lobbying on a governmental level is pretty key.
I think what Rana said is perfectly correct, and I have actually known a number of people who are Canadian citizens of Jewish faith who have actually asked to have their trees removed or their names removed off these trees and not to be associated with it. What Ahab said is correct, that we need to spread the message, process of education, let people know what Israel is all about and what Zionism stands for in terms of literally practicing apartheid in its true colors. And as I said, I showed you what's his name, former Prime Minister Ed Verwoerd of South Africa said about apartheid. In fact, Archbishop Desmond Tutu said exactly the same thing. I don't know if I'd read you what Desmond Tutu said, and he, of course, lived in South Africa and knows what apartheid is. He said, I have been very distressed in my last visit to the Holy Land. It reminded me so much of what happened to us blacks in South Africa. I have seen the humiliation of the Palestinians at checkpoints and roadblocks, suffering like us when young white police officers prevented us from moving about. The current divestment effort is the first, though certainly not the only necessary move in that direction. And that is exactly the spirit. It's a truly apartheid practice as testified by their own terms and so on. And what we must do, not only spread the word, but actually take action. And I think the JNF's charitable status must be challenged by every Canadian with a conscience about this. And I implore you to act accordingly and help us with this project. Thank you.